religious.
Right? Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. We're legal.
It's Tuesday night.
What is it?
It's Tuesday night.
10 or less.
Fewer. Nine or less.
Fewer than 10. Nine or less.
Right.
Well, you know. Well, that's kind of been our church services anyway.
Right.
So,
okay.
Not that this wouldn't be the age of disinformation.
But just about the time it lifts, I think things are going to change. Somebody pray.
Okay. Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time tonight, Lord. Yes, Jesus, Lord, that your spirit would flow from one to one. Your spirit would flow, Lord. Lord, that it would be your truth that is flowing, O Lord. And there is something, so special, so wonderful about the spirit compared with the natural. It's so good. So, Lord, that we would have your spirit in abundance, your spirit abundance, tonight, but just generally abundant in our lives, Lord. Oh, that you would do that good work. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms 113, verse 6. I don't have Psalms 113. I must have it in here. That's just Isaiah.
Taking the abridged Bible to a whole new level. 113, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a bunch of verses underlined in that psalm.
You said 6?
113.
Yeah. 13:6, I think said.
I just left it if I did.
Well, if you don't have it in your Bible, we're going to suggest you get a new one.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I just read 6. I didn't read 5.
Before we get thinking too much about it, let me quote some other scriptures. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please him. And then it says that faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. And I don't know that we can know God without this word. Mm-hmm. We can think we do, but I don't know that we can.
I don't think so either.
No. And we can have some experiences, but you know, but when it comes to the, he says, if you want to find me, this is what I heard in a voice. You have to look for me where I am. And that's all I heard. But that's enough for me to really get thinking about it. And it takes the Word of God to reveal God. It takes the Son of God. He says that no man knows the Father except the Son, and to whoever the Son will reveal him. And it takes the Son of God to reveal the Father. And it takes God to reveal the Son. And so in order to get the revelation, like in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Well, how do we know God? Well, I'm thinking way back 20 years ago, I have some kind of a understanding of God and who God is. But in the last 20 years, listening to the scriptures, what did I just learn by reading this scripture? I thought about it early this morning. I had to look it up to find out where it was. Psalms 113, verse 6. he humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. I was watching a little thing on TV today, and for what they know about it, but they had an earth as a ball, like a softball, and then they had the sun in proportion to the earth, and you would hardly see this earth or the sun, the earth in relationship to the sun. That's the size of it, and the number of planets that rotate that move around the sun, and so forth. And anyway, they were kind of giving a demonstration of it, and the size of the earth compared to the sun or the moon, how little it is, and all of these things. And so I'm thinking, and God is the one to put all these things in place, even though they don't know it. You know, the ones that were explained in this thing were, you know, 70 million years ago there was a, or how many millions of years ago there was a explosion in the somewhere, and a piece of something came and hit the earth and killed off the dinosaurs, and you know, they're giving all these updates, and they showed how big the thing was that hit the earth, and I'm thinking, and they know nothing. They actually know nothing. But the truth of the matter is revealed by the Word of God. So here is a God. Okay, so you want to find him. So here's a God who has to humble himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth. And the heaven reaches as far as man can find with their greatest telescopes. And I think that if they find a telescope that reaches further, God's created something further for them to look at. I don't know. Mm. But anyway, so here's this, the awesomeness of who God is. You know? Okay, so to know him is life eternal. How do you know God without knowing a God who has to humble himself to behold heaven and earth? Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know God? If you have a God that sits on a throne of place with a long white beard and he's shaped after man, where Jesus says God is spirit. And I like the fact that it doesn't say he's a spirit. He is spirit, which makes him one of a kind. And so he has created for his own pleasure all things that exist. And so here's a God who has to humble himself. Who has to humble himself to behold everything that we can see and can't, you know what I mean? So who is he?
I don't know, but pretty soon you better say something, because I right now have no hope of knowing God.
you know what? But that's part of knowing God. And that's what I'm saying.
I know you were, I mean, I know eventually you're going to get around to that. I was hoping, because...
but I'm saying... The knowing God as an object or whatever it is not knowing God.
No.
Knowing God is knowing someone who has created this whole thing, and is perfectly capable of handling anything that takes place on this earth. You know, here we are with this coronavirus, and where people are panicking. A lot of people are panicking. And there's not anything that God can't do or take care of. And so if his people, which are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray, what's going to happen? He's going to do something. Even if it's a pestilence or a plague or whatever. I saw something, and I'm not sure I saw it right. But an Indian, the Indians, somewhere. I said it put in a not small box.
I think it was smallpox.
Was it smallpox?
That wiped out a whole lot of Native Americans, right?
Yeah, I think that is what you said earlier. Smallpox.
I think out of there were 20,000 Native Americans, and there were only 200 and some that lived.
Yeah, that was the big thing that came, and
and
they were totally affected by it. No immunity.
One tenth, I think, is the population of what it had been.
What?
Their population was reduced to one tenth of what it had been.
Yeah.
You know,
they had no medicine, no,
and no immunity.
Yeah.
No.
It occurs to me, though, as far as knowing God, you're right. You can't. Except that you can by the Spirit through the Word.
Right.
You know, He's given that point of access. Nothing we can do.
It's supernatural. To whom He chooses to reveal.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. So, no, the world is really in darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, this doesn't defeat who we are or change anything. It just makes God bigger. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible.
Mm.
Is that, you know what? I have never lived in a realm where we have a God that with Him all things are possible. That's where you worry, and you worry, and you worry about this and that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you have a God who has to humble Himself to behold heaven and earth, who has created all things for His own pleasure, all things are created for His pleasure, it says. It changes the picture. And when you know, when we understand, and we are beginning to understand, that God put a man over the whole thing that He created. He made him an heir of all these things.
Mm.
He made us joint heirs with Him, you know. It changes the picture. It gives us a hope.
Mm-hmm.
And does it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have a question about this verse. Maybe I'm just not seeing it, but who is humbling Himself?
God is.
And who is God humbling Himself to?
It does it better. It says, but He has to humble Himself in order to behold it.
To behold the heavens and then it ends. That particular.
Yeah, it
thought, right?
I'm struggling with God needing to humble Himself, period.
Well, no, but He's saying, because He is so high and above, that He humbles Himself just to look upon the earth, supposed to
humble
in the heavens.
It's a kind of a metaphor in a way.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I see. What He's saying, what's being said there is that He is so much above heaven and earth that He has to lower Himself or humble Himself to see that. Okay.
Yeah.
I took it the other way. And then I read it three times because I said, well, are they trying to
talk
about
first
the Lord?
I
was talking about Christ, and then I said, well, wait a minute. So.
Well, I said, but you know, I knew, I heard the scripture, I was familiar with it, and I had to look it up where it was. And when I did, it changed my esteem, or whatever it is of God. It's like it doubled, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? It takes the Word of God to cause that to happen. It was a work done inside of me.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying.
No.
I need more on this because another way to translate this is God had to humble Himself to talk to the angels in heaven. God had to humble Himself to cast Satan down. Because it said God had to humble Himself to behold heaven and earth. If it said heaven and left, or said earth and left heaven off, I you know, I could kind of just go along with the flow a little bit. But I'm just saying, oh, wait, he has to humble himself to see where he dwells, because he dwells in heaven.
Well, I think it's kind of...
And I'm not trying to get over, I'm going, like, this is a lot of natural thinking. But I'm like,
he dwells above the heavens. In the ultimate.
And maybe taking it too literally is...
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm going.
It's like you said, it's a metaphor.
Yeah, you can't... Yeah, it's kind of like you can't let logic, kind of natural thinking, get too far into it. Cause
well, it's like, okay.
Yeah, it conveys the greatness of God.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yep.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I got a set of scripture should make you excited. I was reading Matthew and stuff, and you know how much we've talked about the parable of the sower went out to sow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to ask you this: do you feel like you have an understanding of that parable?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's so sure.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think we have an understanding. I mean, we know it's based on the Word of God, you know, and the fruit that comes from it, right? So I read on, and it says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And I never paid attention to this. I have it underlined, too. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you. Okay, now, let's see.
What verse are you in?
I'm Matthew 13, 11, because it's right after that particular version of the sowing.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. I went, see, I can know the mysteries of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... But if you have the understanding of that parable, because he's talking to his disciples, who they understood and the others didn't get it,
mm-hmm.
He said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And aren't we learning some things of the mysteries of heaven?
Oh, we are.
We have been, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know,
and it's so immediately clear when someone who doesn't know speaks about whatever's in the Bible or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just it's.
I mean, to me, that parable, and he said, and of all the parables, this is the most important or greatest or what. I feel I have a very good understanding after all these years of listening. Mm-hmm. Took a while,
We have to listen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the listening changes everything inside of us. But boy, why does it change us? Because somebody else can be reading the same scripture and not get it.
Right.
Because it's the door not open. It's just like he said.
And it's by the Spirit that it reveals, guide you into it.
That's just like 1 Corinthians, the first or the second chapter.
And even in that parable, it's saying that, you're just not going to get truth if you're letting it all fall on these other places that's not fruitful.
Yeah. Now, they ask him this, before he gives the explanation of the sower is the seeds of the Word of God, and he gives an explanation later on here. That's some why we know it, starting in verse 18 there in chapter 13. Now, here are the parables. So when anyone hears the word, And those aren't, you know, our understanding is based a lot on his explanation of the parable.
Yeah.
He gives us the... I think what you're saying is right. I'm not disputing what you're saying.
Yeah.
But...
So, I have to admit, I always looked at that scripture and assuming he was talking to apostles, not followers. And you said, isn't this wonderful? Because this says that I, too, can know the mysteries of God. And I'm thinking, I've always looked at that scripture as because they were the apostles and they had to be bringing...
Maybe that's what I was at one time, too, but...
So I was. It's interesting. You make that comment. I go, well, wait. I mean.
Well, I don't. It doesn't say followers, but.
No. That's. No, I'm using that word.
Oh.
I'm using
that
word as saying we. It is for us to know, as well as the apostles, because he was kind of making a demarcation there between his followers, his apostles, and his followers, and those who weren't. His apostles, because the setting there, I got the impression because it says his, and the disciples came, and that word kind of sometimes means the 12, and sometimes it means those who were traveling with them. So I'm not sure which.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
well, it's kind of who he ends in 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Right,
and then he repeats that up in here, you know, in between when he explains it further, like Charlie was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. And therefore speak to them because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear. That's talking about the ones that didn't have the understanding.
Well, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying I've always looked at that scripture and said, oh, he's talking about the 12 and that's why he's going to give them the understanding because they would need that to continue on in the ministry. But basically he was ears to hear, let him hear. Speaks to all of us.
Yeah, because in 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, so it's the opposite, of course. If he does hear it and understands, then the
mm-hmm.
wicked one comes. So, but he who received the seed, well, it just, I mean, it makes the distinction between those that do receive and those that don't. It's not really saying just the apostles.
I don't think it is either.
I mean, you had a good, that's a good point, probably the way I saw it before, you know.
You go, well, wait, because you said, you know, because when I hear a comment like, I'm making this claim, this applies to me, then I'm just going, well, okay, I want to make sure I'm right on that one. And I go, no, wait, and I thought, well, I said, I thought, well, yeah, but that was just me being liberal again, which I'm good at.
You know, that whole notion is repeated so frequently here in the Word that without the Spirit, you're not going to get it.
Yeah?
Yes, that's absolutely
just,
true.
You know, and there's a whole bunch of folks that don't get it. Don't.
Okay, let me read something else that goes right along with that. And you're familiar that this is the first Corinthians, the second chapter. And it says, as it is written, this is in verse 9, I have not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Yeah.
I think you've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay, and the next verse. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. However, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Mm-hmm. Same idea.
So that puts us in the same category as the apostles or the...
Another thought I had was, I was thinking, just recently I read, and it's like Paul was saying, you need to hear the gospel, you need to hear the word of the gospel, Well, then I, and somehow I got a little bit of an, like, I kind of went, well, what is the word of the gospel? Well, it's all the words of Jesus. And so then I thought, I think I got to start listening a little more to Jesus, you know? And if you, and I, this could be wrong, so you can, this is up for testing, but, so I went, you know, the Gospels, that's all his words. So everything that came after that was actually fruits of what he said.
Yes, I think that's right.
And so if you don't get and understand what he said, you may not get all the things that are happening from Acts on to the end,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he says, hear me, believe the word, believe this, believe what I'm saying, you know, at least in Matthew for a while. And I know it gets repeated differently in all the other gospels. But then Paul, when he's preaching, is always saying the words, you know, of Christ, the word. Well, the New Testament word? Well, it's because Jesus spoke everything his Father gave him to speak for the new covenant. You know, and so actually a lot of those epistles and everything are kind of like fruits of that, of those gospels, those four gospels, you know, mm-hmm. that took them on to work the works that they did and mm-hmm. minister like they did, you know.
Yeah. You're saying basically we can't know him without knowing him through the Gospels.
Yeah, I mean, because that's how the New Covenant got established.
Yeah. If all we had were the epistles.
Yeah, right. You'd probably be lacking, you know, yeah. I think. Where I used I remember at first we listened only to the Gospels, and I thought, but then I thought, you know what? Because like a lot of times it's been said, if you only had the Gospel of John, that's all you needed, you know. And it really is. Any of those Gospels get you salvation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They get you into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the stuff Paul did, that was just the results of he knowing that, you know.
That was the results of...
It's up for...
Human brains polluting God's word. I mean, literally, Paul's writing to all the churches like, how come you're messing this up?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, how did you get deceived so quickly? How come you're not listening to what you know to be true? The only encouraging thing I got out of that was within 30, 40 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it took a while, didn't it?
Well, it happened pretty fast, and so... You come along 200 or 2,000 years later, and you go, I'm not sure why I can't keep on this track. But to your point about paying attention to the red letters, God's, the words of Christ.
You know, because in there, if you follow the Beatitudes or whatever, how Christ-like are you going to be? You know, I mean, and not by works, you know, but, you know, if that, mm-hmm. if you start having that in your heart, you got Christ in you, believe me.
No, you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Don't have much ego.
Nope. You don't have much of any of you, mm-hmm. you know, which he didn't either. That's, you know.
Amen. That's like he made a point of saying, hey.
None of me.
Always,
all of him.
Always deferred.
Yeah.
Always deferred. And quickly, too. I mean, it wasn't like there was this big debate he was going through. Well, I mean, he just always knew.
Yeah.
Because he knew.
Are you finally done this time, Rue?
Dog knows how to get his point across.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. There.
There we are.
That is, it is good. It's like we have a telephone line to something 100 miles away. The only way you're going to know what that thing is 100 miles away is with a telephone line, you know, that, you know, have access. That access, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And you have direct access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Without faith, you can't do it, but by faith, you have direct access.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you don't always feel it, that's immaterial.
Yeah. And I don't know how you could read the Bible, or at least read the Gospels, and the Epistle too, and realize, hey, this isn't going to work without the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, your eyes have to skim over that part, or maybe there's a veil or whatever, you know. I don't know how you could give this a serious reading without saying, hey, I need something really big that's beyond what I can come up with in my own little brain here.
Yeah, but you know what? For what?
Huh.
25 years, we didn't know that.
Yeah, I think
we thought we had the Spirit. Well, mm-hmm. We did to a certain degree.
Yeah. That,
you know?
What a great check.
Yeah.
Whenever you think you'd really nailed it, you go, just have to think about our walk. You know, as you were saying, Charlie, it's because all the parables that are written, you know, one's explained. You know, you need to know this because of their aim. And so then there are all these other parables they're saying, and you go, I'm not sure what's trying to be said. You know, it's like a riddle. And then, you know, you do clearly see, and it's not so that wise people can figure this out. So it's, you know, it's kind of like there's this parable, and the only way to understand what it is you need the comforter or the helper.
Right.
And it ain't going to happen in sharp as you may be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking back to that first scripture, Keith, Psalms, verse, you know, 113, verse 6.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, you know, how Jesus is deferred to God the whole time. That verse just kind of continues to help elevate the gap here. It's like, you think on that, and you go, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just like, he has to humble himself just to be able to kind of acknowledge where you exist. And you go, yeah, I really, really not in a position to question what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, in order to know God, or whatever it is, we have to, it's like we can't really know him because of the distance that separates us. However, he wants us to know that his attributes are so high. You know, he wants us to know that part of it. So we're not really thinking that way. You know, that how does scripture say? That we could get Jesus to come down. Or we could lift ourselves up. There's a scripture. And of course, we can't do that. We can't change what Jesus is. We can't change what God is. There's not anything we can do to change that. That's already established. And that's why Paul says, "Oh, that I might know Him." And it's like it gives us a little bit of a picture. You know, great is the mystery. There's a lot of places that says great is the mystery. And one of them is great is the mystery of Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great mystery, and yet I'm beginning to see that there's a lot of things I don't see, you know. And one of them is having to do with baptism, and I don't know that I'm going to see a lot more than what we already see, but that's not the point. That we might know as we're known, well, that's probably not in this life. You know? But God's will is for all men to be saved. God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. Then it says, you know, we're familiar with that verse, but no. For there is one God. What is that? That's a truth statement. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's a truth statement. How many people know that? Unless I really miss my guess, not a lot.
Yeah. I was looking for something else in Luke, and I come across the same area that was in Matthew. And there, the disciples say, what does this parable mean? But you know, it's still, because he knows when he explains it, they're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And that's kind of why he goes on to explain it more, mm-hmm. in more detail.
I think that's right.
But then, after that, you know, he ends that, then he says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to the light. Therefore, take heed how you hear.
Mm-hmm.
For whoever has him, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So, that's some pretty good promises, you know?
Back to Matthew 13 and verse 15, right in between where he says, you know, why speak thou in parables? And he answers, right in the middle, he says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and it means grown dull.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, or in the notes it says, should turn, and I should heal them. And so there's, you can take all of this in, you can have a lot of understanding, but at a point where our heart waxes gross, or turns, just grows dull. And I think of, well, you know, exactly what does that mean, and further on when he explains it, he talks about, you know, in verse 19, when one hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then comes the wicked one and catches away what was sown in his heart. And this is the seed by the wayside. And so there's just no understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that guy's out of there. Verse 20, that he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word. And he received it with joy.
Yeah.
Yet he didn't, he hath not root in himself, but he endured for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, it choked out the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And what I see in here, it's that meditating day and night, also having a love for the truth, that you might be saved. You've got that element that if this just becomes a thing to do, go to church, and there's something that's affecting you, and you have a love of God, but you're not, it's just a sideline. It's an addition to
mm-hmm.
your life. It's a mm-hmm. nice thing. It's a feel good. But it's not the life changing. Whereas the Pharisees had a life changing. You know, for them, it was religion. It was just another thing to do. You could do that, or you could, you know, do whatever. It's a hobby. It's a thing that you do and you excel at, as opposed to really being a seed, being popped into the earth, watered, 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 so that by that daily hearing of it, and having hearts that are turned towards him instead of held and turned away.
Yeah.
It seems like such a fine line, and it's something that we can't decide who's doing what, except for you do see the fruit that comes from it. But I think that that's where that day and night, I think there's really something to that, and it seems to spell it out. You know, at least in my mind, I feel like as I'm listening to that, it's like,
well, it keeps watering the seed.
Right.
You know, by listening. I think that, you know, that's what it's saying.
Yeah, the whole analogy of what happens to the seed.
Keeps the earth fertile.
Because if it's among thorns, you're not getting watered.
Right.
In the thorns.
Yeah, that parable is pretty good about it's water what you need, and then we come back to living water. And, you know, as Charlie, you were saying, you know, it's kind of like we're at this, you know, 100-mile telephone line, and you know, unless God allows the Spirit to move, we got nothing. Mm-hmm. And that gets back to just how great He is and how not great we are. Mm-hmm. And so, it's actually kind of, you got to think about just the level of grace and mercy that goes into the fact that we're diligently seeking Him, and we get a little here, we get a little there, you know, because we're so far from Him, yet He's, you know, kind of like watering the plant. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit here, a little bit there.
But we have to keep ourselves in a place where that water, we're under the water, you know, we go under that watering can.
By your patience, possess your souls. I just saw that.
Well, it's can never say patience too much.
No.
In my mind, it's patience and repentance. They're kind of like, oh, that's an everyday deal.
Oh, and right by there, it's I saw heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That's just one of the things, you know, or it's His words, because God gave Him those words, that's the thing that lasts forever.
Mm-hmm. The thing that has been, not lately, but I'd stay with me for a long time. When Jesus said, you know, He kept saying, well, my words, you know, if you continue in my words. And I'm thinking, He didn't have any words. He said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. So whose words are they? But you know what? After a while, they are His words. Because that's all He has.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But you know what God wants out of us? After a while, those become our words as well.
It's the same blending or whatever.
If God's going to write His word in our minds and our hearts, is that what He's talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
After a while, they become our words.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God's looking for. And I think that has a lot to do with what He created man in His image. Yeah. And Jesus is called the express image. He was the image by expression.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what God wants us to be? Mm-hmm. His image by expression? And what about 2 Peter 1:4, where it says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature. I got thinking about that the other day. And I thought, God wants to change us. Jesus became His nature. God wants to change us until we become His divine nature. So after a while, we think like He thinks. We act like God acts. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the only route that I can see is this word.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was told that day. If you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And I, you know what? Because we have all these translations, and we have so much hoodoo over what's right and what's wrong and so forth, that becomes a stumbling block to us. But once we realize that that men have done their part to change a few things in here, but the word is concrete. It's forever established. And so when it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, but we hear every word, and after a while we understand that some words have been fiddled with a little bit, and men have changed them. But in the whole outlook of the scripture, are you okay?
Yeah. I just got some stitches.
Just got some what?
I brought out some of my dog. Got a hold of my hand.
Oh, and you had to get stitches?
Yeah. It happened a couple days ago, but I keep ripping it back open, so.
Oh.
I mean, he's 96 pounds, so. Right. Sound to happen. But, yeah. All right. Okay. Bye.
Bye, Minnie.
I could quit roughhousing with my dog.
in the same parable in the book of Mark, you know, the sower, and you know the parable of the sower is crucial to all of the parables in the Bible.
Right.
And everything else is based on that parable. And it says there in 12, we get a little bit different picture of it. It says in verse 11, or this is in chapter 4, verse 11. I don't know where I come up with 12, but in verse 11, Jesus said, and verse 10, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, explained the parable to us. And he said, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. That's what you were saying. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? If you don't understand this parable, you're not really going to understand the rest of them either. Is that kind of what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so, the parable of the sower, that's one of the first ones that I really began to get hooked on. And there are so many different little parts of that parable, you know. The seed being the word of God and being planted in us. And so we've been listening to the word, listening to the word, listening to the word. And what we don't realize is that this word is growing inside of us. And that's what God wants it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually we will become God-like because of the word. Faith comes by hearing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm familiar with the things that impede the growth of that seed, though. You know, the thorns and so forth.
Yeah.
But we have a good God.
Huh?
We have a good God.
Yeah.
Who, by his grace, will put us in a good heart that is bring forth 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold.
And because we're natural and carnal and limited, so many of these things don't make sense because they're spirit-minded. You know, the things of the Spirit is so it takes a while to work into our system because we're natural.
Yeah, we recognize that you need the spirit.
King
to get
of the understatement. It takes a while. So
it takes 50, a long time.
Well, 50 years is still going, still counting, right?
Yeah.
It takes a while.
I think it is just a rather small fraction that we have right now. Now,
there was also a lot of undoing.
Whoever it is, it has to humble himself to behold the heavens besides the earth. The heavens are his throne, the earth is his footstool.
Yeah.
I mean, who is he?
Yeah.
What are his qualifications and characteristics of nature, and what are these things?
He gives us the Comforter. Gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can even have communion with Him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we can't.
And tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This awesome, wonderful, wonderful gift that God gave. Mm-hmm. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it just confounds me every time I sit and listen to myself. You know, it's like, yeah, look at this. It's just gone. I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I had my brother Clayton, but he received the Holy Spirit. He almost looked dangerous. You know, I can still see him when he received it. And I was sitting in a chair. When he had received his speaking tongue, he got up, fell right on top of me in the chair, and him went on the floor. And I was okay with it, but I mean, he had quite an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so Clayton, being who Clayton is, he had to go tell his church right away about it. That was his last Sunday.
You know, Jesus said it's the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to send to you. You know? So it all originates, obviously, with God.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Jesus will say, I'm going to send you the Comforter, you know? You know, I just read something and I thought, oh yeah, maybe that doesn't apply to us. But now I'm thinking, anyway, it was Jesus said to, said to the disciples, and my Father has bestowed on me a kingdom. I should find it. And I bestow the same unto you. And then you will sit on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And I thought, well, yeah, you know, it's only for the ones there, disciples. But I don't know that Gentiles might not sit on thrones and judge the tribes of Israel. I mean, that just, first when I read it, I was convinced, yeah, it doesn't really apply to us, that little part. But I don't know that. Now that I thought about it a little bit, I mean, that's open to anybody else wanting to interpret.
Well,
behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But where did I read that?
I'd be okay if it wasn't for some scriptures like the one that says, if the righteous scarcely be saved.
I know. Uh-huh. And I bestow.
I don't consider myself in the righteous days yet.
The more you dwell upon the word day and night, the less comfortable you become.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, it's kind of like the more you know, the more fearful a reasonable person will become.
And it's good.
It's necessary. Because,
you don't want to be on the easy street.
This flesh is going to look for the easy way out every time.
Because then that brings that scripture, you've quoted a number of times, and work out your own salvation.
Yeah.
Correct me?
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, here's it. No. Yeah, this shows kind of where how we sit so vulnerable. This is all in like 10 scriptures. This is Luke 22:27. Who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed it upon one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison to do it. Then he said, I tell you, Peter. So all of this, like, it's like, glory, down, you know, I mean, it's like reality.
Yeah. Yeah, Brother Peter definitely had the, he got, like you said, the yin and yang of spirituality there.
Yeah.
In there.
It, like it wasn't good enough for him to hear that he was going to pray for him and his faith wouldn't fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Oh, Lord, I'm going to go with you and die with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway. But all that, there was a lot there in those like 8-10 scriptures.
Yeah.
The setting where Jesus says, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter said, no.
Oh, yeah,
and Jesus
right.
goes, well, then you can't make it.
Peter.
Well, then don't stop at my feet. He kind of realizes the error of that. Well, that was really dumb.
And then he goes a little too far, too.
Yeah,
thinking,
he goes,
oh, then do my own. No, Jesus says,
yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're clean.
Yeah. We know the plan. The Father knows the plan.
But I do have some good news.
What's that?
I have a great grandson named Jonah.
Yes, we do. Is Jonah Michael?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know anybody else that has a grandchild named Jonah?
So that's a free pass in?
Was that a takeaway, Ken?
Yeah.
He sure is a cute little thing.
But whose is that?
Angels.
Angels.
Oh, the, oh, yeah, that's right. She was
yes.
a grandson.
No, I heard.
So two girls and then a boy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard Jonah. Jonah because after Joanne.
Yeah, after Joanne.
Very special.
Yes, because I know Ben was very impacted by Jonah.
I would have never made that connection right away, but you know what? What a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing.
Yeah. You saw the picture, right?
Huh?
Did you see the picture?
With him in the little whale suit?
In the whale suit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, that was really, that's really kind of put the dot on it.
Little
onesie. Well, I saw it on Facebook. I think that's where it was.
Yeah.
Well, did you have more?
No.
Are we good?
Yeah, I just had to be sure I got that in.
Yeah, we caught it. We caught it. Because we're not prideful, and we don't want to pump ourselves up.
No. Well, there could be a little
pride. Could be. Well, leave a little wiggle room. Love you all.
God bless you.